I don't want to frighten you, but I think there are about 60 days until Christmas Day. And when we have Christmas, what do we remember? We're thinking about Jesus being born. And I entitled this talk, Joining the Dots Across Time, because that's what I love doing with the Bible. And today, Isaiah chapter 42, not chapter 41, is talking about the servant of the Lord. Now, Isaiah is one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. So when you look through the New Testament, it's often quoted. You remember Jesus, when he quoted it a lot. And it runs beautifully into that those verses in John where here Jesus is being foretold, and then when Jesus is there, he is foretelling his resurrection. And they're saying, what do you mean you're going to knock this place down in 3 days and build it up again? Don't be ridiculous. It took us 46 years. Give me a break. And actually, he's foretelling that great revelation and the good news. So most of today, I'm going to concentrate on this part of Isaiah chapter 42, those 9 verses. And this section of Isaiah, chapters 42 to 66, are often called the book of comfort, because comfort, comfort my people, resonates through here. And we see the beginning of time, the middle of time, and the end of time just in these verses. And we can join those dots into our lives today in 2025. So he says, doesn't he, I announce to you, in verse 9 at the end, see the former things, this is what's going to happen, I announce them to you. This is an announcement. He's foretelling what's going to happen. He's talking about justice and creation. So in my little head, I'm thinking those are real hot topics now, aren't they? Justice for everyone in these awful times of war, in these times of everyone being different and thinking you have to fight because you're different. Lack of hope. People have no hope. They're looking too close to themselves instead of looking up to God. Creation. There's a lot, isn't there, about creation. We honor creation. We honor that, but we worship God. And we want to be environmentally friendly and sustainable and nurture this beautiful creation that God has given us. So these verses give us a language as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to be able to talk about what we believe and who we believe Jesus is. And these verses are a couple of thousand years old, nearly 3,000 years old. They're timeless. So when we join those dots, we are merely along the line of the dots. And the story is to come when Jesus returns. So let's look at these few verses. They're like a poem. And Isaiah is saying, here is my servant, God is saying, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. God delights in his servant. His servant Jesus is the perfect model. He's the pattern for us to follow because we are his servants today. And there's those resonances, aren't there, with Moses, God's servant, with David, God's servant, with Jesus. And I love the little boxes that you're going to be giving out, the boxes of trick or truth. And the revelation of truth and light for the whole world is so important. So the fact that we follow Jesus, we need a language to be able to have that conversation with our neighbours, with our work colleagues, with those we know and love. And it was a tragedy. I heard this week that there is a product on sale called a Halloween Advent calendar. What a travesty. Breaks my heart to think of that. So the answer to darkness is the light of the world, who is Jesus. That darkness, that bondage that so many of us feel, so many people feel, even Christians feel it sometimes, because it sucks at us, doesn't it? And these verses are saying, I will put my spirit on him, my Holy Spirit, and bring justice to the nations. Not just the nation then, our nation now. And we do that in the way that we live and the way that we love. And I don't normally do this, but I just want to quote something from the book of Colossians. I have a new Bible, so I can't turn any of the pages properly when I've got cold hands. And my mother used to say, don't lick your fingers when you turn the pages, Daphne. But I just did. So listen to this, Colossians 1, verse 10. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives you, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That, my friends, is the extension of what's going on in here, talking about Jesus. Then Jesus dies, he rises again, and then Paul is talking about how we are to live today. So we always read these words with an eye to today. And this servant Jesus perseveres. He will bring justice. He won't shout or cry out. He's not some bombastic person with a massive Instagram followers who shouts everything from the rooftops. Do you remember when Jesus was taken to the cross, how quiet he was? How reflective he was? How he knew God was with him? And as people taunted and teased him, he didn't shout back. He knew his authority. And those people who were taunting and teasing him in the gospel, he just says, this is what I'm going to do. He just says how it is. He knows what his authority is. And he perseveres. And that's a perfect model for us, to persevere in our Christian lives. To pray constantly, to pray for those we know and love. And to live our Christian lives where we work, where we play, and where we are at home. If you've heard me preach before, you'll know I'm absolutely sure that most of your mission field, if you're in the workplace, is at work. You spend 8 hours a day there, some of you. So your mission field is not in here, it's out there. And we are all called. It says here, doesn't it? All nations, all islands. His teaching, the islands will put their hope. So we can call ourselves the islands. So the servant here is almost being given a brief of what's going to happen. Isaiah is talking of the servant's task while he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the story has to unfold over the next 1,000 or so years. And today and forever. And although Jesus isn't named, his actions years later and his authority as God's servant speak louder than any words that he can say. The people he healed, the people who tried to kill him but couldn't, the people in the end who killed him and then they thought it killed him and they hadn't. These words show us what Jesus will do. They give me, I hope they give you, comfort. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. None of us is past our sell-by date. You think of a candle when it's blowing down, and it's going down and down and down, you think it's going to snuff out and die. And actually, for us, we never pass our sell-by date. We are always able to serve the Lord. And even when we die, we know death is not the end because of Jesus' resurrection. We know that when Jesus returns, we will stand face to face. How cool is that? So the poem here, the servant, Jesus, will tell the world that there is only one God, and he'll bring the truth of God to the world. And it says about righteousness. Righteousness here doesn't mean, aren't I wonderful, I'm self-righteous. It means I'm right with God. So we just had our confession. That puts us right with God. If in our hearts we want to be right with God. It brings justice. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. It feels a pretty long way away some days of the week. Maybe more for some than others, but it doesn't feel that close. But Jesus gives us hope. This servant fills God with delight. He's quiet and gentle. He's faithful and persevering. And he doesn't falter or become discouraged. It can't be a description. This servant cannot be a description of Israel, the people of Israel, who, if you remember, moaned and groaned like drains, particularly in the desert with Moses. They were resentful. They were disobedient. They regularly turned away from God to worship other gods and had to be brought back. This servant cannot be them. This servant can only be Jesus. And he goes on in verse 5 to say, this is what the Lord God says, the creator of the heavens. We worship the creator, not the creation, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from him, who gives breath to its people. Each and every one of us have breath because God wants us to have breath. He created us from our inmost being. So back in the day here, the law, the religious law, was for the privileged few. So if you could quote Deuteronomy 4, chapter verses 44, and all the laws that there were, and live by those laws, you were fine. But actually, what we know is that Jesus turns that upside down. The teaching shows us that the Messiah reaches out beyond the Middle East, which is where this was happening, to the islands. We're an island, that's so cool. So it reaches out to everyone and everywhere. There's no, it's for everybody. And what's going to happen is that this servant who's come is going to he's going to be a light for the Gentiles. That's me. To open eyes that are blind. That might be your own eyes or your spiritual eyes. To free captives from prison. Whatever prisons we have around us. Jesus will free us from that. He will release us from the dungeons and those who sit in darkness. And then he reminds us, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. So when we think about Halloween at the moment, what is going on spiritually in my little mind is highly dangerous. People are looking for something that is dark, not something that is light. And the servant, Jesus, is going to undo all the horrendous and degrading effects of the sin that sin has had since time began. And Jesus restores us to our freedom and dignity as children of God. So this darkness that is around, and then obviously we had an extra hour in bed last night, well I did, and it's going to be darker earlier today. So the darkness often frightens people. They feel less safe. So our responsibility as Christians is to think about the light. How can we be light in this little part of Southeast London? What's the light that we're shining in our workplaces? How can we be light and show hope? We don't have to beat people over the head with our Bibles to do that. Probably wouldn't work anyway. We need to love people, to pray for them, to invite the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. I will put my Spirit on him. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit ourselves. Jesus promises, I will leave you my Spirit until the work on earth is done. So we have the privilege of the Holy Spirit present in our lives. How do we use that? These verses are like a job description. And the hope that we have here, we can see here how God sees justice. He sees justice as for everyone, and for something for which we have to persevere. So these verses are like a job description for followers of Jesus. I have to tell you, I was driving around the other day, and I'm not a bad driver, and I am an advanced motorist, as it happens. But I was following a car, and I nearly crashed into it. It was so funny. The bumper sticker said, "Do you follow Jesus this closely?" I thought, that is so cool. Do I follow Jesus that closely? And do I do that every day? What a great reminder. So the followers of Jesus, verses 2 and 3, are a clue as to how we are to serve. We don't need to be ostentatious. We don't need to be loud about it. I play hockey, and one of the umpires who used to umpire me was very ill in hospital, and I went to visit him. And I'd only ever talked about my faith with him once. They'd asked if I'd do their funerals for him and his wife. So that was sort of years ago. And he said to me, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I just need to be with someone who's close to God." Man alive. We'd had one fleeting conversation at a dinner party about the fact that I love the Lord in my own way. And you will never know the impact that you have by loving your neighbour and what will happen. What will come back for you? I left the advertising industry 25 years ago. Somebody phoned me out of the blue 5 years ago and said, "My mother's dying, what do I do? We're all Hindus and she's a Christian." So I helped them through her death and I took the funeral for them. You never know when the people you know at work are going to think, "Oh yeah, I remember that guy. He was always so kind, he was always honest. He never bad-mouthed people. And you know, when it was Halloween, he used to bring in chocolates and nice stuff. And we always got an advent calendar at Advent." Those things matter to people. So as we approach, we've got 60 days now before Christmas, as I said, as we approach Advent, and as we think about Christmas, who is Jesus? Who's Jesus in my life? Does it actually make a difference? Do I follow Jesus that closely? God uses each and every one of us wherever we are. While we grow in Christ, none of us is a complete version of ourselves yet. We're always growing and learning. But nothing is wasted. A bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed for me is early life damage that I had, difficulties, trauma. He's never wasted that. Look at me now. He's absolutely made me more Daphne than I feel I've ever been. And I was a bruised reed for many, many years. And I'm not past my sell-by date. A smouldering wick he will not snuff out. So if you are retired, if you are no longer going out to work, or you're no longer able to work, don't fret. You're not past your sell-by date. Get on those metaphorical knees of yours and pray for the people who are at work. Pray for your neighbours. Ask God to show you how you can serve him. The servant king, Jesus, and we serve him with great joy and great love. And as we approach Christmas, I do urge you to renew where you are with Christ. We've got a time of communion when you can do that, reflect and come up and take communion. And just think, Jesus, where am I with you? What am I going to do next? If you aren't sure, you want help, talk to Helen, talk to Timmy, talk to me afterwards, talk to your church wardens about how you can serve or what that even looks like. Or if you want to do an Alpha course because you aren't sure about anything anyway and everything seems so hopeless, ask for help. Don't do it on your own. The thing about the darkness is it likes you being on your own. So get out in the light, have that conversation, no matter how embarrassed you are. Say, do you know what? I think I've lost the plot a bit over the years. What do I do now? And you will be joining the dots across your timeline, and you'll be joining the dots across the whole world's timeline. So my dots join up. I had a conversation 25 years ago with a young man about Jesus. He came to looking for me last week in a different church saying, is Daphne here? I want to pray with her. 25 years ago since we had that conversation. See how God joins the dots. Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your ears open. Keep your spirit alive with what God is doing wherever it is you are in the week. Even if it's at home. Especially if it's at home. What is God up to? Ask, pray, and enjoy. Amen. Amen. Amen.